Let's, Be'ezus Hashem, B'li Neder, let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Svi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Daf Tzadi. And we are going to begin at the very bottom line of Daf Peites on the days. On the bottom, two lines from the bottom. Tavlin, K'dei L'tabal Beitz HaKala. How much spices do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to violate Shabbos? So it's K'dei L'tabal Beitz HaKala. Enough spices that you will be spicing up, giving spice to a small chicken's egg or a minu. The Gemara has a contradiction. Tavlin shnayim u'shlosha shemos mimin echad. This is about the laws of Arla. Arla means the first 3 years of an animal of a tree's life. So the spices are forbidden not only to eat but even to benefit from. So the question is how much do you have to have in order to violate Arla? How much do you have to eat? So it says, Tavlin shnayim shlosh shemus mimin echad. Even if it's two or three different types of spices, as long as it's the same general name, like white pepper, black pepper, long pepper, om shlosha minim, or even spices of three different types, asurin, they're all asur mitam arlo, mitstafin zem zeh. If you don't have enough shear of one, if you combine the different spices, it'll combine for the shear. But amar chizkia, b'mine mesika shanu. That's only by spices that add sweetness. Only spices that add sweetness combine. Hol ru'uyin lamatek kedera, because all of them together can sweeten the pot. But by regular spices, we don't say that. Says the Gemara, taima dechazu lamasek hasakedera. It sounds like you only say this by things that are for sweetening. Hol avachi, but spices that are not for the purpose of sweetening, but rather for making it more spicy. Lo, they don't combine. So how come our Mishnah says they combine? Answer the Gemara. Hachanami chazu lamatek. Yeah, our Mishnah is also talking about spices that are made for sweetening. Now, Tosas asks over here, what's the difference between spices made to spice and spices made to sweeten? Take a look at the top Tosas Hoel on the second line. Vim Tomar. Hey Chimairi, what are we talking about over here? Ibeno Saint Tom, if it's enough spice to give taste into it, I feel a sharmi nimnami, so even other spices also should combine. Why are you telling me only sweetening spices? Even then sweetening ones, if they're not giving, it's not enough to give taste. So it should be insignificant. So how come you're telling me that you're chayev when they're for sweetening? So Tosa says something very interesting. So Tosa seems to say only differing spices that are all made to sweeten, only all of them can combine because sweetening is considered to be one type of thing. Like in my cabinet here, we have like Truvia and you have Sweet and Low and you could have Saccharin in the old days used to have, and you have Splenda. Like you have all these different types of things that are made to sweeten. But at the end of the day, they're all considered to be the same. They're all going to combine because they all sweeten. But when it comes to spicy, apparently, so if you mix different spices, the Tosa says that's considered to be bad taste, and therefore they don't mix. Again, a good cook, I don't know, I don't really understand this. A good cook can mix together different spices, but apparently it's in times of the Gemara, at least, it was considered to be nosin tam lufgam. Interesting. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, klipe agosim, klipe rimonim, satis upua. These are all different types of dyes, things like the peels of nuts and the peels of pomegranates and satis and pur were different grasses that were made to make blue dye and red dye. K'dei l'tzpa beged katan. So how much dye? It's enough dye that you can dye a small garment. Asks the Gemara, wait a minute, we had a contradiction. Rimini, we learned earlier, motzi samanim shiruyim. If you're taking out dyes that are already soaking, k'dei l'tzpa beged dugma le'ira. It's a smaller amount, the amount that would take to dye just a sample to show what kind of color you want for the weave, for some type of weave. Just a sample, it's even a lesser amount. So we give the same answer that we gave a couple of dafkam. Rav Nachman Rabbi Ravua, lefisha ein adam tarech lishro saman l'tzva ben dugma l'ira. If you're starting the process from the beginning, you're not going to start the process just to make a sample. Then you need enough dye to make a beged katan. So that's going to be a larger shear. But But once you have the dye already soaking, so then it's going to be a less of a shear. Once you have the dye already soaking, then it's going to be the amount that you dye just the sample. Because once the dye is going, a lesser amount is considered to be significant. But to start the process from the beginning, you're not going to start it just to make a sample. You're going to need enough dye to make a beged katan. Fine. Let's continue. Now the Gemara is going to speak about, again referring to what's said in the Mishnah, various types of soaps and detergents. And unbelievably, in the times of the Gemara, what did they use as a cleaning agent? Urine. Like, wow, I don't think today we would use that as a cleaning agent. It stinks to high heaven. But so the Gemara says, Meira glayim, again, don't forget, this is talking about when something's like really dirty, so the Meira urine was considered such a strong liquid, it could like, let's say if you had blood in a garment, so if you soaked it in Meira glayim, gets rid of it. I don't know, people say nowadays if you have a stain, you take seltzer. Seltzer is a good thing to remove stuff, and that's what the Olam says. Because it's got that like, you know, strong acid in it, which removes dirt. So it could be Meir HaGlayim, maybe it smells bad, but it would remove dirt. So Meir HaGlayim, Tana, Meir HaGlayim ad arbaim yom. Only urine that is less than 40 days old has the power to really be a strong cleaning agent. After that, it's completely useless, and you wouldn't be chayiv for carrying it on Shabbos at all. It's just meaningless, insignificant, so you wouldn't be chayiv. Neser, soap. Tana Neser Alexandris velo Neser Anpinterin. So it's a dafka, a soap that comes from Alexandria that was in Egypt, and not a soap from Anpinterin. That wasn't considered significant. Boris, another type of cleaning agent, Amar Rav Yehuda, Zechol, sand. Ask Marva, Tanya, Boris Vachol. What do you mean? But the Brisa says they're two different things. Elamai Boris, Kavrisa, sulfur. Says more mesve hosifu aleihen. In terms of things that you're chaya for shmita on, different types of vegetation that are used for making dyes. There's a mishnah in shmita they added on. What other plants have kedusha shmita? And not only dyes, but also various detergents. Hachal bitzin v'haleinun. It's like wormwood. V'haboris. The OL, that's aloe. Boris is another type of soap. So v'isakadaitach, that Boris is kavrisa, is sulfur. Kavrisa mi isa b'shvias. How can you say sulfur as kedusha shvias? V'atani zeakal, kol sheyeshlo ikar, it's got to grow with a root, yeshlo shvias. V'she ain't lo ikar, if it doesn't have a root that grows in the ground, ain't lo shvias. And apparently, sulfur comes its mind directly from the earth, and it doesn't grow with a root. So it's hacky to say that's what it means. The Gemara says, okay, you're right, Boris doesn't mean sulfur. Elamai Boris, ahala, it means aloe. Ay, Vatanya, ha Boris v'ahala, but didn't we say that there's Boris and aloe? Tre gavne ahala, apparently there were two types of aloe. Kimulya, Amar Rav Yehuda, shlof dotes, some type of detergent. Ashlag amashmol sheltinu l'chol nechus hayama. I asked all of the sailors, v'amruli shonana shemei. It's really called shonana. Mishtakach benukva demarganisa. You could find it in the crack of a pearl. You could find this thing in the apparently that's why the sailors knew about it. They would find these pearls in the ocean or washed up on the beach. Umafkile beramza de parzla. And you would remove this, this plant with a nail, like a type of a long nail of iron. You would get it out of the pearl, and that's how you'd get this plant out. Apparently, this plant was used either for some detergent or for some dye. They would get it out of a pearl. Okay, let's continue. So now the mission is going to continue with other spices. Or vegetation, how much when you carry it on Shabbos, how much you have to carry in order to be chayav on Shabbos. Pilpeles, a pepper, kol shehu, even a mashu. The Gemara is going to describe what a mashu would be used for. Right, spices are very, very strong, so even a tiny drop of it could be used on. The Gemara is going to say it's to get rid of bad breath. We'll see. Pilpeles, kol shehu. V'itron, tar, that comes from a tree. Now this tar, So it was apparently used to create a fire, but it also could be used for other things. We'll see in the Gemara. Kol shehu, even a mashu yichai. Mine besamim, various types of spices that they used to make a nice smell. Umine matches and different types of metals. Kol shehu, even a drop can make a nice smell, right? Even a tiny drop of besamim smells beautiful. Me'abne mizbech, umi'afra mizbech, you took from the stones of the mizbech or from the dirt of the mizbech. Mekek svarim, worms that had destroyed Sifrei Torah. Umekek mitbechoseim, and even worms that destroyed the covers of the Sifrei Torah. Kol shehu, even a drop. Why? Shematznin osel negonzan, because even a tiny drop has kedusha. Paradoxically, you're going to take it and bury it. So even a tiny drop is considered to be Mechal Shabbos for, because it's considered significant. Why it's significant is you're going to carry it to get rid of it, as we'll see in a minute. Now here we go. Rabbi Yehuda adds the following. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hamotzi Mishamshe Avodazara Kol Shehu. Even if you carry something used to serve Avodazara, not that you're worshiping the thing itself, but it's used in the worship service, like a broom you're gonna dust before it, or a jug you're gonna pour wine in front of it. So the jug, these things that were used for Avodah Zarah, Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, also is even a kol shehu. Even a kol shehu, you're chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, v'yidbak b'yadcha me'uma min acherim, that you're not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah, even me'uma. Me'uma means even a drop. Even a mashu, you can't benefit from Avodah Zarah. There's an iser doraisa to benefit from Avodah Zarah. Let's say you own a jewelry store. Or let's say you own stock in a jewelry company, and they sell crosses. Or let's say you want to rent space to a church or rent space from a church. So the shaila is about this. Are you allowed to get benefit from Avodah Zarah? So there's an iser doraisa to get benefit from Avodah Zarah. It might even be a harag val yavor. Whoa. Chorma of the Month Club. Yaharag Valyavar, if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, rent space from the church or I'll kill you, you might have to actually be killed rather than do it. Because it might be considered to be Avuzrayu Davodah Zarah. That's a shaila. Whether or not benefiting from Avodah Zarah is considered to be Avuzrayu Davodah Zarah. It's a whole sugyim psachim davchav hey, and elsewhere. But so now, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you carry Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yehuda says, even a mashahu, you violate Shabbos. So what's going on over here? So comes along the Rashi. Take a look at Rashi on Mu'uma. Rashi has a very strong question here on the Gemara. It's about halfway down the page. Rashi, Mu'uma. Alma, akshave kro li'isura. So you see from the pasuk, from the fact that it says the word Mu'uma, lo yidbak b'yoncha Mu'uma menacherim, even a mashihu of Avodah Zarah, zasabana, so even a Mu'uma, so even a drop. So that's what Rashi says. From the word Mu'uma, you learn that akshave kro li'isura. The Torah is machshiv, even a mashu of Avodah Zarah, it's asr. But Rashi asks, wait a second. This contradicts a Gemara we learned 15 blad ago. I'm sure we all remember it like we learned it yesterday. 15 blad ago. What does it say there on Daf Ayin Hey? Kol she'eno kasha latzni avu kimna limu'ute atze ashera. The Gemara there said that actual Avodah Zarah itself, which is Aser Bahana, you're not chayav for carrying on Shabbos at all. Why? It's Aser Bahana. It's worthless. It has no value. It's Avodah Zarah. It has zero value. It's Aser Bahana. So it's anything that has zero value, we just saw before, if it has zero value, you're not chayav for carrying on Shabbos at all. It's not considered to be a chashava item. It's not considered to be significant. It's Aser Bahana. The Gemara said it has zero value. You're not chayav at all. So Rashi asks, how come our Gemara says, Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, you are chai for carrying because of the pasuk of Lo Yidbak. If Avodah Zarah itself, Lo Yidbak does not make you chai on. So how come Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, yes? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, well, Delo Karab Yehuda. Okay, it's a machlokas. That Mishnah that we learned earlier that said that Avodah Zarah itself, you're not chai for carrying. And here Rabbi Yehuda says, you are chai for carrying Mishamshe Avodah Zarah. It's machlokas. That Mishnah goes against Rabbi Yehuda. So claims Rashi. Now, however, the Ramban quoted over here at the bottom of the Masifta and Oschaf Beis here, The Ramban gives a different answer. He says that it depends why you're carrying the Avodah Zarah. Listen to this paradox, the Ramban writes. Listen to this paradox. Fast 9 paradox. Watch this. Watch this. Listen to this paradox. If you're carrying out the Avodah Zarah to destroy it, so that's what you're supposed to do with Avodah Zarah. So since you're carrying out to destroy it, that's a mitzvah. That's what you're supposed to do. So you're chayav on Shabbos because you're doing what you're supposed to do with it. But actually, if let's say you want to use a broom of Avodah Zarah to play stickball, so then you wouldn't be chayav because it's aser bahano. You're not allowed to use it to play stickball. So then, says the Ramban, that carrying would be not chayav at all. The paradox. If you're carrying it to destroy it, that's what you're supposed to do. That's a good carrying. That's what you're supposed to do with it. So that's a significant carrying. You violate Shabbos. But if you're carrying it to benefit from it, that's aser bahano. You're not allowed to do it. So our Mishnah, where it says it's aser, is talking about Meshamesh Avodah Zarah, that you're carrying it to destroy it. So carrying it to destroy it, you're chayev. But the Mishnah earlier, it says you don't violate, that's if you're carrying it to benefit from it. Carrying it to benefit from it, you're not allowed to do that, and therefore it's not considered carrying at all, and therefore you wouldn't be chayev at all. Now this is also connected to another very important and fundamental dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether or not Meshamshei Avodah Zarah is included in this pasuk. Are Meshamshei Avodah Zarah aser bahano midoraisa or not? When the Torah says v'lo yidbak b'yodcha mu'am anachem, does that mean only actual Avodah Zarah itself or only Meshamshei Avodah Zarah? So the Rambam shita is even Meshamshei Avodah Zarah aser bahano. The Ramban's shita is that no, Meshamshei Avodah Zarah is not aser bahano midoraisa, it's only midorabanan. So the Ramban asks against himself, wait a second. This Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda quotes the pasuk v'lo yidbak b'cha b'yodcha by Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah quotes the pasuk v'lo yidbak by Meshamshei, but the Ramban says, but my shita is that Meshamshei Avodah Zarah are not aser bahano. So he says, well, you have to say that the reason Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah quotes this pasuk of Meshamshei Avodah Zarah is because from the fact that by Avodah Zarah itself, even a mashu is aser. So too, Meshamshei Avodah Zarah is also going to be aser with a mashu. He's just quoting it for the shiur of the mashu, even though the Ramban happens to hold the Meshamshei Avodah Zarah is not aser b'hanah midoraisa. This pasuk's not really referring to Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. And one last ta'ara about this, the Rishonim say here that this has to be Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, that Melacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is chayav. Because if you're taking this Avodah Zarah out to destroy it, if that's when you're chayev, when you're taking the Meshamshei Avodah Zarah out to destroy it, that you're only chayev if you're taking it out to destroy it, so obviously you don't want it outside, you're just destroying it. So it's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And yet it still says you're chayev. So this sounds like a Yehuda L'Shitaso, very beautiful. That's who says that? The Tosas Yantif, I think. Hold on, who says that? Tosas Yantif says, L'chor Nech... Yeah, who says this? One second. Yeah. I think it's the Ramban. I think the Ramban says also. Yeah, the Ramban talks a lot about this. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Pilpelas kol shulamai chazia. What is one little tiny drop of pepper? What's it used for? Just a mashu? Answer the Gemara, L'reach hapeh, to get rid of bad breath. Itshron kol shulamai chazia. What's a little bit of tar? A very strong smell. L'tzilachta. He says if you have a headache, so if you take a whiff of this tar, it'll get, to me, I would assume it would give you more of a headache, but the Gemara says if you take a whiff of the tar, so it eases your headache. Even a mashu of tar, like a little bit of snuff, right? You put a little bit of snuff in your nose, a tiny little drop. Mamish, a mashu is already considered to be significant. So if you carry even a kernel of it, even one grain of it, you'd be chayav. Mine besam... What?
Medically. They used to use it in the 1600s for migraines. Tar.
Tar, there you go. There it is. Boom. That's from the Gemara. Beautiful, Dr. Joe. Gavaldik. It's a good thing we got a doctor over here. We got a doctor in the house. Mide besamim kol shehein. So types of besamim, even a mashu. Tana rabbana motzi reach ra. A person who carries a grass that has a bad smell, kol shehu. Why? Because they would use it to like keep away the evil spirits from the babies, as the Farshim say. Shemen Tov, a very fine smelling oil, Kolshu, even a mashu. Again, for the smell, Agaman Kolshu, a purple dye, even a mashu. Uvesulas Havered, a rose, Achas, even one leaf of a rose. Because these things smell very beautiful, so even a little bit is significant. Meaning, Matkos Kolshu in my chazer, what's a little piece of iron worth? Tadri Rishon Lezer Omer, Shekin Royal Asis, Mina Darban Katan. You can make the small little nail on the yoke of an ox to help move it in the right direction. Apparently, even a tiny piece of metal would be good for that. Tanurbanan. Homer Harealai Barzel, a person who commits, he says, I want to donate iron to the Beis HaMikdash. So Acherim Omer, that's Rabbi Meir, right? We learned earlier Rabbi Meir was called Acherim because Rabbi Meir was once disrespectful to another tzaddik in the Beis HaMikdash and they were geyser on him. That they would never quote him by name. They only quote him by the name of Achayim. Achayim Omrim, Lo Yifchos Me Amma Al Amma. He can't have less than an Amma by an Amma. Lamai Chazio, what's an Amma by an Amma? What's the Beis HaMikdash going to use an Amma by an Amma for? Amar Yosef, Lakalya Orev. Apparently on the top of the Beis HaMikdash, on top of... Something just flew into my head. No pun intended. But apparently, they didn't like ravens to roost on top of the Beis HaMikdash. So they would have an amma by an amma piece of metal with like nails on it on the top to scare away the ravens that they should not roost on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why can't you have ravens roosting on top of the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash elevated. So last night at midnight, Rabbi Willig, our rabbi here, sent me a tshuva from Tshuva of Sanhagas because I all of a sudden I have a Sefer Torah in the house and there's a question about whether or not you are allowed to have a Sefer Torah in the house directly underneath a bathroom or directly underneath the master bedroom in a household. It's a shaila like that because the Kedusha goes straight up like Beis HaMikdash. what a dafyomi coincidence. Unbelievable. Literally on the same day that I had the shaila, so the Kedusha of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is Kedusha. Oh, so Rabbi Willig sent me at midnight last night. He sent me from the Tshuvos van Hagos. The Tshuvos van Hagos writes that he thinks that's only a din in a shul because an Aron Kodesh in a shul has the status of a Beis HaMikdash and therefore you can't have a bedroom, the master bedroom, shouldn't be right on top of it because it's not appropriate that a husband and wife should be together on top of an Aron Kodesh. But that's if you have a shul in the house. But if it's just if you are just keeping a Sefer Torah, but it's not a shul, he thought it wouldn't be a problem. However, he writes there a bathroom, he said you shouldn't have directly over a Sefer Torah. Unbelievable. In other words, if you have the Sefer Torah downstairs, you shouldn't have the bathroom directly on top of it upstairs or... But the master bedrooms, I saw on the internet, some people, when I was Googling it last night, some people say you're not allowed to have a master bedroom. One of my relatives called me up all upset because I showed him a picture. I have my two Sefer Torah here in the house. He says, wait a second, it's right under your bedroom. You're not allowed to be under the bedroom. He started hacking me about it. So we were talking about it. So anyway, so Mamish, what a dafyomi coincidence over here. Here we go. So, Lekayov, Vegadarmi, Achir Momim, Lo Yuchos Mikaya Oriv, don't give less to the Israelites than the amount of metal for the bird chaser, the raven chaser. Vakama, Rav Yosef, Amal Amma. One amma by an amma. So that's the minimum size of iron that you dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash. What about if you are dedicating copper to the Beis HaMikdash? Lo yifchos mima'a kesef. So if you're donating copper to the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't give less than one coin. A ma'a is the smallest copper coin. So enough copper to make one coin. Tani Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo yifchos mitzinora ketana shel nechoshes. A small copper, like a tool. Lamai chazi, what's such a small copper, like a fork? What's it can be used for? Amar Rabbi, shemechatitin ba'as hapsilos, that you would remove the tip of the wicks that were burnt. Umekan chananeros, and they would clean out the candles from the ashes. Mekek, svarimu mekek, mitbechos, the worms infested the Sifrei Torah, svarim, and the covers. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, mekek de sifrei. So this type of worm called a mekek would ruin svarim, like a klaf. Techach de shiroi. This another type of worm called a techach would ruin silk. Ve'ila de inve. And another type of bug, like a fruit fly or something, would ruin grapes. Upeh de te'ene, and this bug called peh would ruin the figs. The hay de rimone, and this bug called hay would ruin the pomegranates. The kulu sakanto, all of these are very, very dangerous to you if you eat them. And the Gemara says, Hahu Talmuda, Davi Yasa Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, and a certain student was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Ka'achal Te'en, he was eating figs. Amar Leh, he says, oh my gosh, Rebbe, Kotzen Yesh Petenim, there's a thorn in this fig. Amar Katle Pet Ladein. So Rabbi Yochanan remarked, oh my gosh, the bug called Peh, which is the bug that dwells in figs and ruins the figs, must have killed this young boy. Is going to kill him because that when he ate the thing that had the bug in them, so you could die from eating stuff with that kind of bacteria or bugs or stuff in it. You can die from eating it. Let's continue. Hamotzi kupas harochlin. If you carry outside a box filled with spices, little like bundles of spices from different types, avli sheyeshba minim harbe, even though there's a lot of different types of spices in the box, ein ochayav. So they're all in one box, so even though you have a lot of different spices you're carrying, you only have one carbon chatas. If you carry out a certain type of seeds for the garden, even less than a grogeres, you're chayev. The Mefarshim say it's a kezias. So the Rambam says a little bit less than a fig, a little less than the grogeris. Usually this size is a fig, but here it's a little bit less. It still considered to be significant. Tosas Yantav writes that the Rama means a kezias. Even though normal shear of the Oakland is a grogeris, is a fig, dried fig. Is grogeris a date or a fig? I always get this confused. I think it's a dried fig, no? It's a fig? Nevertheless, when it comes to seeds, you chayiv even less than the dried fig because they're not used for eating. The grogeris, the dried fig, is a shear. The grogeris, you know what, just make sure. The grogeris is a fig, correct? It's a fig or a date. I always get that wrong. It's a fig, right?
It's a fig.
Yeah, it's a fig. Good, thank you. Okay, even though normally the shear for food, and this stuff is food, it should be a grogeris, but it's also used for planting. So since it's used for planting, then even a shear less than a grogeris would be chayv, would be significant. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Chamisha. He says with these seeds, even five of them, which is even less than a kezias, presumably, even five of them, you would be chayv on Shabbos. Zerak Yishuin, cucumber seeds, Shnayim, two seeds is chayiv. Zera Diluin, pumpkin or gourds, zucchinis, Shnayim, two seeds. Zera Pola Mitzri, the Egyptian bean, Shnayim, two seeds. Chagav Chai Tahar, a live kosher grasshopper, Kol Shehu, even a tiny one. Why? Because they give it to the kids to play with. Don't try this at home. Mace, a dead grasshopper, kagrogeris. So that would be for eating. So then it's the shear of a fig, dried fig. Tzipores krumim, this type of insect that would go in the orchards. Bein chaya, bein mesa, whether it's alive or dead, kol shu v'namashu. Shematzinos alerfu, they would use that for healing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hamotzi chagav chay tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you carry out a live non-kosher grasshopper, kol shehu, even a mashu shematzinos lekatan lesach lischokbo, they would use that for a katan. They would use that to appease a crying baby. Just nothing like giving him a live grasshopper. He'll be quiet in 2 seconds. So that's what they would use that for the babies to calm them down. Even a tiny little one. Now the Gemara is going to say, how come Tanakama doesn't allow a non-kosher one, because they wouldn't use those to play with because the baby would eat it. So you don't want the baby eating the non-kosher grasshopper. Okay.
That's why you can't play with food. Didn't we learn somewhere we're wasting food?
Okay. It's interesting, Kasha. You're saying a grasshopper is called food? Interesting.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. Or a minu. We ask a contradiction. Zevel v'chol hadak, fertilizer and thin sand. K'dei lezabel kelach shel kruv. Dear Rabbi Kiva, enough fertilizer to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. V'chacham rom k'dei lezabel kresha, one leek. So it's even a smaller share than Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, you see, even one seed. So how come the Mishnah said two? Enough fertilizer to fertilize even one seed. Amar Rav Papa, what's the obvious answer? Ha de zaria de lo zriel. V'sheinam tarech lo tzi nima achas lo zriel. Like we said before, once the one thing is planted, so then it's enough fertilizer to fertilize one seed. But you're not going to originally carry just one seed. You're not going to be tarech for one seed. Once there's a seed that's planted in the ground, you'll have enough fertilizer for that one seed. But l'chadchila, you're not going to walk around carrying one seed. You're not going to bother yourself for one seed. Okay. Zera kishuin, cucumber seeds, we said two seeds. Tanarban hamotzi gar'inim, the pit of a date. Now we're into dates, right? Dates and figs. The pit of a date, imlinatia, if you're carrying it for planting, shtayim, then it's two pits. Imlachila, if it's for food, to eat the pit, we'll see in a moment who eats pits. Kimelo pi chazir. Oh, it's like the amount of pits that fit in the mouth of a pig. Vekama melo pi chazir. How much is that? Achas. One large pit of a date. Apparently the pigs would eat the pits of the dates. Im lahasik, if you're using them to make a fire, kedei levashel beit zakala. It's enough to make a fire to cook an egg. Im l'cheshbon, if you're carrying out the date pits to keep track of numbers of things, like one pit equals $10, two pits equals $20, you want to know how many books you have or how many whatever you have, so you use them to count. Shtayim, two is the minimum. Achir omrim, Rav Meir says, chomesh. Five is considered to be, because up to four, a person can keep in his head. You don't need the date. You don't need the date. That's what the Mefarshim said. You don't need the date pits to count. Tana Rabbanon, our rabbis taught in a brisa. Hamotzi shnei nimin miznava sus miznava parachayev. Person who carries two hairs from the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow is chayev. Shematinos on lenishbin, because this is something that they would use for trapping nets. Miksha shel chazir, the hair of a pig that grows on his back, on his spine, achas. Even one hair is considered to be significant. It was very sharp, so the tanners would use it as like a needle in the tanning process. Tsorei dekel, branches, peeled branches of the date palm tree that you would use for baskets. Shtayim, so two reeds. Two of these branches were significant to be used in basket weaving. Tore dekel, the type of thick leaf that would grow around the base of the date palm tree. Achas, even one of those was considered to be significant. Rashi writes, I don't know what this thing is used for, but in the Aruch says they used to use it to cover over like an empty cucumber that was used for drinking wine out of. The Meiri writes that some say they would use it to as like a whip to smack the animal because it was moist and it wouldn't break. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Tzipores kiramim. These insects that would fly in the orchards, bein chaya bein mesa, kolshu, whether they're alive or dead, amashu. My tziporos come, what is this? Amarav, palya biari. What's a palya biari? It's a type of grasshopper. That's what the my notes on the bottom say. Here, a type of kosher grasshopper. You could find this in a young date palm tree that has not yet grown to its full maturity. They would use this bird, this insect. They would use it to help people become smarter. I hope there's not a run on Amazon today trying to find to buy this thing, but they would use it lechukma to get smarter. Are they talking about eating the bird or eating the young date palm tree? I think it means eating this insect. That's what it seems to me to mean. So now, how would you eat it to get smarter? So first you would eat the right half of it. And the left part you would place in a copper rod, and you would seal the rod with 60 seals, like with wax and pitch and tar and dirt. And then you would hold up the reed on your left arm. The way to remember this is that the fool always looks to his left. So you're obviously a fool if you're drinking this because you got to get smarter. So you got to hold the thing on your left. You're the guy who they needed to help you. The more times you do this, the smarter and smarter and smarter you get. The gomar kama de boy, and you'll learn as much as you want. Then after you get all the wisdom, then you eat the left half of it, which was in the reed ilo me'ekar tamudo. If you don't also eat the left part of it, then you're gonna forget all the learning that you got after eating the right part of it, and you did this like exercise with your left hand. That it helps you get wiser. Wow. Okay. Someone can find this and market this palya biari, this type of insect that was used to get smarter. Right, does it mean that they would use the insect to get smarter, or they would use the young deckel tree to get smarter? It sounds to me like the Gemara says it's the insect. Yeah, what do you guys say? What does it sound like? Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hamotzi, even a live grasshopper that's non-kosher, they would use the kid. The Tanakama Savar, lo. The Tanakama says no. If it's a non-kosher grasshopper, you're not chayev at all. My time, why not? Dilma achile, because they're afraid maybe the baby will eat it. Ihachi tar nami. Wait, if you're afraid the baby's going to eat it, why aren't you worried about a kosher grasshopper also? Da Rav Kahana avikarem kamei de Rav. Rav Kahana was standing and learning in front of Rav. Vahave kam ma'aber shoshiva apume. And he would pass a kosher grasshopper before his mouth. Amar le, and Rav said to Rav Kahana, shakle, get rid of it. People shouldn't say you're eating it. You're violating the Isra about to shak to. If you eat something, and Dr. Joe said he wouldn't eat one. So that shows, even though it's kosher, but you're violating about to shak to. It's disgusting. People don't eat such a thing. So how could Tanakama say that a kosher grasshopper is okay? It should be a violation of Baal Teshaktu. Ella, the reason why we don't give a non-kosher grasshopper to a kid, Dilma Mayas V'achale. No, maybe it'll die, and then you'll eat it. For Rabbi Yehuda, Katan Mispad Safidle. Imayas Katan Mispad Safidle. If it dies, so the kid is going to cry over the fact that it dies. He's going to give it a hesped, but he's not going to eat it. We're not worried that the kid is going to eat it. Okay. Thank you very much. We will stop here. Want to wish everybody a wonderful day. Tomorrow morning, Bez Hashem, we will see you again at 7:30. Everyone should have a wonderful day.